You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
What's up and good morning. Welcome to the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Thank God it's Monday. I am the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, holding it down for Greg Sussman. Of course, rocking with me, as always, is the Roto Experts in the Morning crew. That is Wall Street Matt Modica and the King, Scott Engel. King got that fresh-looking Met hat on to start a Monday morning. How was your weekend, good sir?
It was okay. Relaxing, doing some work, and catching up on some rest.
Okay, very good. Yeah. Your normal weekend routine, Scotty. Relaxing, doing work, catching up on rest. Sounds like a good time.
Let the barbs be accurate.
Oh, well, if the barbs are not accurate, what is a normal Scott Engel weekend?
I told you last week we went out for Japanese food. Weekend before that.
You didn't do that this weekend?
The weekend before that, I went to the Kiss Expo.
That was a good time.
Peter Chris. So every weekend's different.
Oh, boy. You coming in here already fired up this morning. You know what I'm saying?
Already making up stuff about me
Wall
on a Monday.
Wall Street, Goldman Sachs, Matt Modica, wish you go. Going on? How was your weekend, sir?
Oh, the weekend was good. Last night was a lot of enhanced TV viewing.
Nice.
Some good stuff. It's a money-making Monday.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that and Twin Peaks.
All right, so there you go right there. So that's kind of how the weekend went. Fantasy sports-wise, anything going on, Matt Modica, that you did?
Friday we started a Draft Champions, NFFC.
Okay.
I had a 6-pick. I went with Julio.
All right.
I don't want Scott yelling at me because, you know, I'm going to go Julio sometimes.
Yeah.
And Odell some other times, you know, because they're 2-3.
You got to diversify. I feel you. Where did Zeke go?
Zeke, I was actually hoping that he would fall because the news came out before the
draft started.
So I was like, if he falls to me at 6, I'm jumping all over this. But nah, he went as expected. I think he went 3rd.
Yeah. That seems to be what the case was. I saw 3 drafts over the weekend. Ezekiel Elliott went 4 in all the drafts I saw. So really no significant change to the ADP with the reports that came out. Scott, did you get any fantasy sports work done this week? You participate in anything?
Didn't participate in anything except for fantasy racing. I did okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Decent weekend. Who won the race?
Denny Hamlin. First win for Joe Gibbs Racing this year.
All right, so there you go. Shout out to the homie Joe Gibbs, former coach of the Washington football team.
Yes.
2-time coach of the Washington team. Won some championships his first go around.
Yeah, the second time he should have never
Nah, second time. I remember that game the Patriots hammered them. We know when the Patriots was on that run. Hammered poor Joe Gibbs. Very sad. You know what I mean? But anyway, coming up on the program today, got a lot of NFL to talk about. Obviously, as we get closer to the kickoff of the 2017 season. And got some fantasy baseball stuff we want to hop into. The big trade over the weekend. Got to discuss that and talk about that as we move closer and closer to the stretch run for the rotisserie baseball players. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I want to say something else. I had a better weekend than Donta Foreman as well.
Yes, Donta Foreman. I told Donta Foreman. Everybody in the NFL, I told all of y'all, this time of year when there's no preseason, when it's like you're away from your teams and you're in your hometown, be careful, because 12 is looking for you. We get into Dr. Foreman and some baseball talk. When we come back, we are off and rolling on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Yeah.
Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Back up and at them early on a Monday morning, the Roto Experts in the Morning, coming to you live from Studio 34 in Midtown Manhattan's New York City. Yes, here we go. I want to start to get into some of the news and notes that took place over the weekend, gentlemen. Get your opinion on them as we get fantasy owners prepared for the baseball stretch run and kickoff of the football season. Have a seat, Scott. Have a seat, Scott. Have a seat, Scott, please. Anyway, Matt.
You'll address me properly if you want me to sit.
Scott, can you please have a seat, sir?
Mr.
Medica, the Nationals acquired right-handed pitcher Ryan Madsen, left-handed pitcher Sean Doolittle from the Athletics over the weekend. Is this going to solve this save thing with the Nationals?
I don't think it's the ultimate solution. I think it's a improvement, without a doubt. And anything was pretty much an improvement.
Over what they had, yeah.
Yeah, I think Doolittle, for me, would be the guy. I mean, Madsen didn't want to close in Oakland. And Doolittle has better stuff. He's a better pitcher. His problem has always been staying healthy.
Yeah.
I think, like I said, I think this is a nice improvement, but I think ultimately there is another trade coming down the pipeline.
Something else coming for the DC baseball team, Scotty. What do you think about the albums they picked up yesterday?
Yeah, worst bullpen ERA in the majors, well over 5. So they had to do something here. Both these guys have closer experience. Doolittle has been a little bit better. You know, there's been some injury issues. He did pick up some scattered saves over the year when Santiago Casilla was not there. We saw Matt Grace get a pair of saves over the weekend, but that was really desperation. Could be either one of these guys if they don't make another move, but you feel like another move is coming. If I had to pick up just one of these guys, I might lean slightly in the position of Doolittle. We saw him have a big season a few years ago.
He was in Cincinnati, right? Was that when he had the big season?
Was no,
he in
Oakland.
Oakland.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the A's.
Yeah.
The Athletics.
The teams that just traded him, yeah.
Yo, it's a dude that worked in the bodega around the block.
Yeah.
He wears an Oakland A's shirt. I think it's a uniform. He wears that shirt every day. I can imagine what it smells like.
smells like Oakland ASS.
Yeah, exactly,
yeah.
Scott.
Yeah, speaking of the A's, that's how MC Hammer got his name from, because he looked like a small version of Hank Aaron.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's how he became, that's why they called him Little Hammer.
Oh, okay.
And they had that thing on MLB Network. And he actually, as a kid, he looked like a little Hank Aaron.
How about that? MC Hammer got his name from the Oakland A's, the Bay Area stand up. Shout out to Dub Nation, Golden State Warriors champions. My Golden State Warriors. Here we go.
Excuse me. Phil Jackson left the Knicks. You are now a Knick fan again.
Yes. Bobby Valentine left the Mets.
I never rooted for another team like you.
You should.
You said that when Phil Jackson left, you were going to stop the stupid front running.
And Phil Jackson.
He left, and you're still wearing a golden fake Warrior.
Phil Jackson is gone, and I am rooting for the New York Knickerbockers in the Eastern Conference.
Speaking of basketball,
and I have an Eastern Conference team. I have an NL West team. I have an NL Central team.
Did you see the reception at the airport that, who was it? The guy that just went to Houston. Not Houston, Oklahoma City.
Paul George. No,
Paul
I didn't
George.
See it.
They had it on SportsCenter. They were showing the three signings.
They rolled out the red carpet for Paul George.
Yeah, it was like 500 fans out there. He said he was really touched.
Real passionate fan base they got out there in OKC. Good looking out, Don Burns. I'm having trouble with my damn computer this morning.
Don Burns looking gangster today.
At least that's every day for Don Burns. You know what I'm saying, son? All right, here we go. What do we got next? Who's this kid, Jose Quintana, right? He got traded, right?
From the White Sox, yeah.
He got traded to the other side of town. And he was impressive. 12 strikeouts on his debut, huh?
Yeah, he became only the second pitcher to post double-digit strikeouts in consecutive starts on two different teams. Randy Johnson was the other. Look.
Since 1900, yeah.
Yeah, they gave up a ton. And Eloy Jimenez, considered a beast prospect and all that. But for the Cubs, they get to keep this guy under control for the next 3 years. He's not an ace, but he's a very good pitcher. And I look at this is a team that's desperately needing pitching. And if he could be like the Cubs, I'm going to date myself here. Like 1984 when they got Rick Sutcliffe to come in.
I remember
and
that.
Just go on a run.
Yeah.
So for the short term, it's a really good acquisition for the Cubs. Let's see what Eloy Jimenez turns out to be, though.
Yeah, and what do you think, Scotty? He only got 3.69 runs per game of support with the White Sox. Yesterday gets 8 runs of support as the Cubs, who seem to be coming on now, have scored 27 runs in the series against the Orioles.
How many? Are they in striking distance?
Yeah.
They're going to win that division.
Okay, not even none. All right.
It was like the Dodgers, like last month, you know, everybody was like, you know, all this young Rockies pitching. And I was like, just wait till the end of July and then talk to me. And the Rockies are like 12 games back. But
so a couple of weeks ago on the Fantasy Football Frenzy, which you can hear right here at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, right after the Roto Experts in the morning, our guy Jason Braddock talked about Houston rookie running back Donta Foreman and how he think he could work himself into a timeshare with Lamar Miller. Obviously, Lamar Miller, ADP. I don't have him ranked that high. His ADP was starting to get lower just because of, like, you know, being a buster. Now, this thing that happens over the weekend with Foreman, he gets popped. He gets arrested. I told you, Matt, you heard me every day when I close the show, tell the players, the boys is looking for you. You don't want to get in trouble this time of year. So he's in Austin where he went to school at, in the parking lot, whatever. And somebody calls the police. They call 12, and they're like, yo, we smell marijuana. First of all, mind your business. You know what I'm saying? First and foremost, mind
never
your damn...
Never be a rat.
Yeah, exactly. Mind your damn business.
I smell marijuana.
Yeah, officer, I smell marijuana. From that car right there, the gentleman right there, he plays for the Houston Texans. I'm sure he has a pistol in there. The cops coming, sure enough. Foreman has marijuana in the car. It's a pistol in the car. And Foreman's in jail. And he's probably going to face some kind of suspension. Now, what does this do, Scotty, for Lamar Miller? Do you think Miller's ADP starts to rise a little bit? Are you intrigued with Miller? Where are you at with Lamar Miller? Where do you have him in your running back rankings?
Yeah, Miller's like a top 15 sort of guy. But I don't even want to rank him there. He wore down last season, and that's why they drafted Foreman, because they felt like Bill O'Brien admitted that he overworked Lamar Miller, and they wanted to bring in Foreman to be the goal line back, but he's also a power runner with speed. Now, but if you look at this case and what Adam Schefter tweeted, he tweeted a detailed report of what happened. There was a legal handgun in the car, according to Foreman's attorney.
Yeah.
And also, the marijuana was not in the possession of Foreman himself, so he's going to take a urinalysis test to determine whether he had any marijuana in his system.
He did.
So there is a possibility that Foreman could escape this, though. So I don't think we can overreact to it just yet.
Yeah, but as far as Miller goes, I'm still not interested in Miller, but some people
His attorney said that he didn't have any marijuana in his system.
Okay. Mine said the same thing. Matt Medica, does this move homeboy Lamar Miller up your board any with these pending, you never know, legal troubles? Because I can see, like you say, you got time, August, whatever, September, you get closer to the season. For people that are drafting now, you know what I mean, trying to get in these best balls and stuff like that, what are you still avoiding Lamar Miller? You move him up a little bit, you know what I'm saying? How are you handling this situation?
For me, I have 16. I have a sweet 16 at running back.
Okay,
I'll put him at 17 for now.
All right.
I don't want him.
Still too high for me.
Yeah, I can see it. Look, I'm not excited to draft him, but if he was a fourth round value, I'm going to take him. But the thing is here is I don't want him to be an every down back. I think he proved last season that's not what's best for Lamar Miller. He, you know, give him, maybe he goes from 60-40 if there was going to be a true split to maybe 70-30 now.
Okay.
Which I do.
Well, look, if he couldn't miss time with a suspension.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. So there's got to be somebody else that's good. Yeah. Maybe it's Tyler Irvin that Jason Braddock was kind of raving about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he becomes a passing
People start seeing him getting drafted in drafts now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a possibility. I want to see what happens with Foreman. But look, Miller is still a talented guy. It's just everybody has last season's taste in their mouth. And I don't think, like I said, he's not an every down back, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I can't see moving him up at all, because when he didn't have like a Foreman last year, he wore down. And then he missed the last two games. So
no, but
if it's going to be the same situation, the team's skeptical on Tyler Irvin and the fact that they don't know if he could hold on to the football. He didn't even show he could do that on special teams.
Well, here's the thing why I can see him moving up. If Foreman suspended, Foreman was going to vulture the goal line carries.
Okay.
Right? He was going to get the touchdowns. So maybe now Miller get some more touchdowns.
He gets that red zone work still.
I mean, who's the other option they have right now?
Nobody.
Is somebody giving D'Angelo Williams a call?
I couldn't see moving him up, because if there's no Foreman, it's the same situation as last year. He gets overworked.
All right, so there you go right there. Last season, a report out of the Minneapolis Star Tribune that they wouldn't rule out the possibility of Vikings rookie running back Dalvin Cook getting 300 touches this season between running and
catching
football.
I'll take the under. You always hear that kind of stuff during the summer.
You know, I don't think Cook can handle it.
Yeah, I have him at 16. Look, he's a back that I would like to own.
I love him.
You know, I, yeah. I mean, before the Underwear Olympics, you know, I thought he was going to Carolina. Everything I saw him do at Florida State was pretty damn impressive.
All right, coming up next on the program, as we continue on the Roto Experts in the Morning, win totals. Vegas win totals and what they mean for fantasy football. Can you figure it out? We'll help you break it down right here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Why are they playing this Boston song with the fantasy executive on the air?
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
All right, here we go. Back up, Adam Roto Experts in the Morning. What you got, Scotty?
I'll tell you what I got. You ready?
Yeah.
I met this little girlie. Her hair was kind of curly. Went to her house and bust her out. I had to be early. These girls are really sleazy. All they just say is please me. Or spend some time and rock a rhyme. I said it's not that easy.
Yeah.
It's tricky to rock a rhyme. To rock a rhyme that's right on time is tricky. How is it, C?
Tricky.
Tricky. Tricky.
All right, 844-843-6879. 844-843-6879. That wasn't my guy, Kenneth Cashman. That actually was the King Scott Angle spitting the rhymes on the Roto Experts in the Morning this morning.
Classic.
Yeah. Now we head out to the phone lines. We talk to Mark in New Jersey. What's going on, Mark? What's popping with you?
Hey, fellas. Good morning. Scotty, that was pretty dope, man. That was pretty dope.
There you go.
All right, Mark. Thank you.
Hey, guys. I got a question. So I'm starting to get my mind right about draft season and want to talk about players that you guys are avoiding this year. Scotty, I know you're not a big fan of Jared Cook. He's burned you in the past.
He's not even on my draft board.
Exactly, yeah. So I love Julio Jones, but he's burned me in the past with the foot. And I've had Eli Manning one season where he threw for a million touchdowns, and the next season he threw more interceptions than he did touchdowns. So want to talk about players that you guys are looking to avoid this year.
What's your scoring format?
I'm in two leagues. One's a standard, one's a PPR, 1 point.
How many wide receivers you start?
Three.
Start three in each league. All right, good looking out. I'll start right off by saying, obviously, in the PPR league, and well, one of the players that I'm avoiding, unless he drops a little bit too low, because at some point, Matt Medica, everybody has their price on draft day.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the players that come out of my that I go immediately to is Duke Johnson. The inconsistency last year, even though he caught 50-something passes, still very inconsistent, tough to figure out when to put him in the lineup. Another running back that I won't have anywhere, and we'll talk about him a little bit later on in the program, is going to be Detroit Lion running back Amir Abdullah. Those are two players that come right to mind as guys that I'll be avoiding. They won't be in any executive locker rooms this year.
Well, Spencer Ware will be the one guy that own zero shares
no
of.
No doubt.
He's the one guy that can actually hurt me this year. But just real quick to get back to his Julio Jones point. I mean, Julio's played 15, 16, 14 games, and over the last 3 years, 1,593 yards, 1,871 yards, and 1,409 yards. I don't think Julio has been burned. You know, you really can't get burned over those last 3 years.
I think that people worry about those games where he disappears, that two for 29s, those three for 30s.
I can point Mike Evans in the second half kind of disappearing too. Okay. You know, it's kind of tough.
I can understand when people have concerns about Julio's foot. You know, he hasn't been doing anything.
Yes, but it was to remove a bunion this time.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, he's averaged 100 yards, over 100 yards the last 3 seasons. Nobody else done that.
Scotty, any players you avoiding this year that's not going to be on your the Royal Draft Board?
I'll preface this by saying at some point everybody's draftable, but guys I don't like as much other people is Todd Gurley. I think he's tremendously talented, but I think the situation is going to be very slow to work out, and I don't think I'll have him until 2018, maybe when things work out. Marshawn Lynch, I've been on record as saying, you know, this guy looked like he was breaking down in 2015. I don't think all of a sudden 1 year off is all of a sudden going to make him younger or anything like that. He might become part of a committee. And probably Pierre Garçon, because he's not going to have enough help in San Francisco.
All right, so there you go right there. Those are the couple of guys that Scotty. I disagree with Lynch and Garçon, but it is what it is. So, NFL, Vegas NFL win totals, 844-843-6879. You got questions, you want to get in, we are here to help you. That is 844-843-6879. Be like Mark in Jersey, get the Roto Experts a call. All right. Oh, the first name on the list for NFL win totals is the Seattle Seahawks. Vegas has them projected for 10.5 wins, Matt Modica. If the Seattle Seahawks win 11 games this year, that means Eddie Lacy had a hell of a season.
I mean, that it does. I'm kind of with... Look, I like Eddie Lacy somewhere like mid to late sixth round, seventh round.
I've seen... I saw him going in two drafts over the weekend, Matt. He went in the ninth round.
Oh, in the ninth round. Look, I would scoop them up already. Look, I don't love, I don't hate. I think Eddie Lacy could be... I mean, ninth round is insane. Yeah. I would be all over that. Because, I mean, look, you have to take the shot with this guy at a certain point. He still has some talent. We are worried about the weight, yes. But he's coming into a system with a coach that knows how to use big backs, and he's proven that he can play in the NFL.
Scotty, your team, they got projected for 10. Vegas hasn't projected for 10.5 wins. If they win 11 games, I think that Jimmy Graham also plays a big part of that. His ADP is in the sixth round right now, and I can get down with that.
Yeah, it is a fair projection from Vegas. They've won 10 games in each of the last five seasons. So, you know, that kind of makes sense. I think the key for them this year is health. They had a lot of key injuries last year. If everybody stays healthy, I think they can win 11 games. Graham and Wilson have been improving as a connection. These guys are supposedly best friends off the field,
really?
Too. So
Russell Wilson has friends? Wow.
Hater. Jealous because Romo never won nothing.
Romo got friends. He's well liked.
Did you see him yesterday at the
but
golf?
Guess what?
He threw the alley-oop to Steph Curry.
His friends never saw him win playoff games.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And last
he was well liked because he sat him during the stands.
Last time I saw Russell Wilson, he was in Atlanta getting hammered by the Falcons.
Last time you saw Russell Wilson, he was showing you his ring to you.
That's
and
not,
Romo.
That's not true.
Yeah. But anyway, I think it's health. Also, you know, Lacy, good point, but if there's a committee also of Lacy, Rawls, and Procise that works effectively, they could also win 11 games.
So there you go right there. That is what Vegas is saying about the Seattle Seahawks. Up next, the Tennessee Titans. Vegas has them projected for 8.5 wins. Matt Modica, if the Titans win 9 games, then I think that DeMarco Murray has a... Well, if the Titans win 9 games, I think that... How do you think the receivers shake out? Because if they're a 9-win team, that means they have a healthy Mariota all season, and the running game is doing what the running game does, but somebody steps up in that wide receiver core.
Well, I think if they don't win 9 games, it's an epic fail of the season
I
for
agree.
Them. Because there's a lot of expectations here. That division's a little tougher than people give it. I think everybody thinks that's like a joke kind of division, but, oh, you know, you got the Texans.
The Colts.
You know, they got a good defense. Colts with that offense. And Jacksonville's an up-and-coming team. That
very
defense
good young
be much
defense.
Better. And, you know, if Fournette can be what I think he can be. So I'm going to definitely take the over on that. Anything, you know, a possible 10-win season, I think, is what they're striving for. Just getting back to Seattle, I think I might take the over to 10.5 with just looking at their schedule.
Their division is weak.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got San Francisco twice.
Yeah.
The Rams twice. So, and they, you know, they have some tough games, but, you know, just having that, I think they can. It's going to be, that's a really tough one. 10-11, I think, is where they fall.
Tennessee, Scotty.
Yeah, Tennessee, improving on offense, pretty good offensive line, good running game, diverse receiving crew, respectable defense. I think this team could grab a wild card this year. I'll take the over.
All right, so but who's the wide receiver? Who's the piece in the passing game that steps up for Marcus Mariota so they can have better balance on offense?
I think Corey Davis will certainly make a I'm not as high in him fantasy-wise as you are.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, he certainly gives that team another dimension. A healthy Eric Decker would be pivotal for that ball club.
Yeah, for me, with the wide receivers, excuse me, I'm going to – I just think it makes Mariota much better, and it's kind of clouded. You know? I'm going to probably take the cheapest one of the group.
I'm going to go Corey Davis, and I'll probably take him in that 7-8 round range. I have no love for Eric Decker, but I also like what's the young man, Rashard Matthews, in that 7-8 round range also. But I like Davis a little bit better.
Matthews. Matthews, I think you can get
I'm not even looking at that from a fantasy perspective, just from a pure NFL perspective. The best quarterbacks in the game spread the ball around effectively, and now he has a crew that allows him to hit the open man.
All right, so there you go right there. Up next, the Minnesota Vikings. Las Vegas has them projected for 8.5 wins. If the Minnesota Vikings get the 9 wins, Matt Medica, Dalvin Cook must be having a hell of a season.
You know where I'm going with this one. I'm going over. I'm going over the 8.5. I think they're going to be a really good team this year. Much improved. They, you know, the defense. I like the wide receiver options.
Yeah.
If Laquan Treadwell can do anything this season, I think the running back situation is a good situation. I mean, you got Cook, you got Murray. I mean, everybody wants to just write off Murray that he's just this total bum and can't do anything. He's better than that. You know, I'm not a guy that I think is great by any means, but
you take him in round 12.
Oh yeah, sure.
Okay, I seen him going in 12th last night.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think he's a guy that I think he's going to get touchdowns. They have him on the roster. Why not use him where he's effective?
Scotty, nine wins for the Minnesota Vikings.
I'm taking the over because we know that the defense is going to be solid, if not outstanding. The running game should be better this year. The offensive line is, they've made moves to improve the team. It'll be a conservative offense with a good defense, and that's the kind of team I think that can contend in the NFC.
Who is the number one? Who is the top target in the passing game, in your opinion?
I think it's going to be Stephon Diggs for amount of receptions, but I think Adam Thielen will have more big plays.
I think Adam Thielen's like the poor man's Jordy Nelson. Yeah, on up. He's a guy I really like. Yeah, I agree with Scott. Diggs is going to get the heavy workload as far as, like, you know, receptions, PPR kind of monster guy if he stays healthy.
Yeah,
but I do like Thielen.
Adam Thielen.
Very interesting comparison. Poor man's Jordy. I
like that. Junior varsity Jordy.
JV Jordy.
Jordy.
Hey, you know, I'm starting to draft Kyle Rudolph a little bit. Matt Medica is talking me
into it. Coming around. He's coming around.
Oh, my goodness. Please.
Matt Medica put you on to Kyle Rudolph.
I'm quite sure he's going to let me down.
But if he does, it's not going to be, it won't kill you, is my whole point, too.
Hey, here we go. Roto Experts in the Morning. We want to hear from you. 844-843-6879. That is 844-843-6879. When we come back, the Los Angeles Chargers and the Jacksonville Jaguars. What can you expect from them in 2017?
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Now live for 2017, it is the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package, live at rotoexperts.com. Everything you need to dominate in draft season and end season right there for you. rotoexperts.com, Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Now live for 2017, promo code FREE RADIO.
No, promo code THE KING, 20% off.
Promo code THE KING gives you 20% off. Now you're complement to your exclusive Edge package is the Executive Edge package from RotoExperts.com. Also, promo code Frenzy. Get involved with the Fantasy Executive. We've been having a good time over there, Executive Edge subscribers. We was chatting the other night, you know what I'm saying? We did a draft and some of them joined me. I absolutely destroyed the bell cow theory the other night. I'm talking about it was an embarrassment. The other 11 owners should be ashamed of themselves.
Who'd you end up with?
I'd break it down on the Fantasy Football Frenzy coming up. But for the Executive Edge.
I don't want to wait for that. I want to know now.
For the Executive Edge, the promo code is...
tell me, like, the running back?
I'll give you a full breakdown. For the Executive Edge, the promo code is Frenzy right now, available at rotoexperts.com. Your compliment to your exclusive Edge Fantasy Football packet. This is the chocolate version. Now...
what's mine? The matzo ball soup version?
Running backs on the team, Scotty, were DeMarco Murray and Tevin Coleman. Satisfied?
I was at a bell cow theory.
You got DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, but one bell cow.
Yeah. That's one. That's the theory. Is one bell cow and then a ton of.
I also
catches.
Got my first share of DeMarco Murray this week, and I took him, and then I followed him up with Isaiah Crowell.
So there you go, right there. All right. Let's get back to the get down. The Los Angeles, right? Yes. Los Angeles Chargers, Vegas has them projected for 7.5 wins. Boy, I tell you what, if the Chargers can get to 8 wins, that means that offense is really rolling pretty good this season, Matt Madiga. And I'm talking about all the pieces like the Melvin Gordons and the passing game got so much going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know Keenan Allen's the one. Tyrell Williams is probably the two. The kid Mike Williams they drafted, still need to get him in form, whatever. Got the two tight ends with Henry and Gates. They got a real nice offense, and if they get to 8 wins, I think it's going to be on the back of that offense.
Yeah, they do have the Jets and Browns on their schedule.
That helps.
But they also have the Patriots at a conference matchup, so that's not too good for them. They also play the Cowboys this year.
Yeah, they play the Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
It's going to be tough. The AFC West is going to be a real battle. I think Mike Clay has the Chargers winning the AFC West, which I think is pretty bold.
Yeah.
But... we'll see. I mean, Denver has the defense. We worry about the quarterback situation there. The Raiders seem to be that team on the rise to overtake that division. So as much as I do like the Chargers and all these pieces have really never played together on the offense.
Yeah.
Not that they can't do it, but, you know, Keenan Allen's coming back. You got the first-round draft pick. It's going to be interesting how these pieces all come together.
Scotty, if they can go from 5 wins to 8 wins this season, I got to think that tick up comes from the offense. People are sleeping on Phil Rivers. If this is an 8-win team this year, that means Phil Rivers is having a really, very good season.
Yeah, it all depends on, you know, how well the defense is going to play, et cetera. You know, they do have a lot of pieces on offense. They have a very experienced quarterback and a balanced running game. So I think this team can win 9 games.
Ooh, got him down for 9, huh?
Well, the thing is with Rivers, I mean, he averages, what, like 4,400 yards and like 31, 32 touchdowns a season. The thing that keeps him out of that, like, you know, top tier of the quarterbacks is those interceptions he throws. So maybe under Anthony Lynn, we do see some more running at times. Yeah. If they have a lead to try and...
slow down those interceptions.
Yeah, and just run out the clock, too. I think that's what's killed them. Last year, they lost some games late,
Atlanta Falcons. Just run out the clock. Up next, Scotty, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Vegas has them projected for 6 wins. If they are a 6-win team, don't you think they might be passing the football a little bit more than they wanted to this year?
I think they actually be running the football more because what they want to do is establish more offensive balance. You know, Tom Coughlin was brought in to change the culture there. You know, more discipline, et cetera. You know, can the offensive line block well enough to help Fournette? But, you know, you sometimes overcome that if you're a tackle breaker, and, you know, that's what he is. So I think the offense should be steady. I still think they're probably, like, the least impressive team in that division, so I'd probably stick at 6.
Madika, if 6 wins, to me, though, 6 wins shows game scripts of them playing from behind. If they're playing from behind, they can't be letting Leonard Fournette, three, 4 yards in the cloud of dust. They're going to have to put the football in the air more than they want to this year.
Yeah, I'm going to, I'll give you 4 games for them. They have the Jets on their schedule, the Rams on their schedule, the Browns on their schedule, and the 49ers on their schedule.
Okay.
This is supposed to be a much improved defense. People were expecting maybe last season, but I think this is the year that it comes together. So, I mean, I think if they don't get to six, that's a major disappointment in Jacksonville. I think, you know, it's going to be, like I mentioned previously, it's going to be a really tough
game. Can a six-win team have the rookie of the year, the offense, the NFL rookie of the year on it?
See, for me, all these things, like even in baseball, like the MVP, if he's the best rookie, he should get it no matter what the team's record is. You know, just because, I mean, maybe Blake Bortles makes some bad decisions late in close games. You can't hold that on him. I don't know. It all depends on the season he has, in my opinion. I don't like when people get penalized. Of course, their team isn't good, but they play really good.
All right. Up next is the Denver Broncos. They are looking. Vegas has them for an 8.5-win season. Scott, if they can get to 9 wins, to me that sounds like they was able to figure out their quarterback situation. You look at the camp battle they got coming up. Everybody's talking up. Everybody's, you know, what you're hearing the players say is Paxton Lynch has improved. Trevor Siemian has been steady. Nothing really jumps out. What do you think? This camp battle, this is going to be one of the more talked about camp battles in the NFL this year. Who do you think is going to be the starting quarterback, and can that quarterback get the ball consistently to those two big playmaking wide receivers?
This is a team still built on defense, and all they want the guys to be a game manager. And I think Trevor Siemian is probably more closer to being a game manager than Paxton Lynch, and he might win the job, and he knows how to get the ball to those receivers. Not only is there a camp battle there, but, you know, there's also, what's going to happen in the running game, you know, with C.J. Anderson and, you know, the other young guy that you like. It's
Devontae Booker.
There's some things to be determined here, but when you have a defense that good, you can still win 10 games.
See, the thing here that I'll disagree is, if they just wanted a game manager, it would be Siemian.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, they're looking ahead, and if they do make the playoffs, who can take them further? And if Paxton Lynch can develop, because I just don't really see them going far with Trevor Siemian. Great, you make the playoffs, but, you know, one and done is no fun.
I don't know if they can go deep into the playoffs with either quarterback, because when Paxton Lynch gets there,
I'm not saying Paxton Lynch is good. I'm saying
experience.
The one guy that could possibly get them further. He's the guy that, you know, you don't want just the game manager. Yeah, the defense is good, but you're going to have to put up points. You play like the Patriots and some really good teams, you're going to have to score points.
Yeah, that's a lot to ask of a rookie quarterback.
Okay, well, this is his second season, and he's got to step up. That's why
he's essentially a rookie.
Okay. No, it's worth it. Let's move on.
It's a lot to ask of an experienced quarterback.
Of course, it's a lot to ask. Of course, but if they want to go deeper into the playoffs and have a chance, look, if he plays a bunch of games this season, they get him in. He starts week one. He plays 16 games. You're going to hope that throughout the course of the season, he's going to make positive progressions.
I don't know if they go far with either guy.
Scott, that's probably true, yeah. But I'm saying I think.
So you'll take the under. You'll take the under on the 8.5, Scott.
I'll take the over, but I will say one thing though. You know, they did win a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning being a game manager, and I think Siemian can be a better game manager.
All right, so here we go. Right here, up next on the list is the Buffalo Bills. Vegas has them projected for 6 wins, Scotty. A 6-win season in Buffalo. It shows me kind of more the same as last year. Has there been any improvements on that offense?
I'd probably take the over, but maybe by 1 or 2 games. It's all in the health of Sammy Watkins. But LeSean McCoy is so talented. Tyron Taylor is underrated. Defensively, I think they have some holes on the back 7, which can hold them back.
They're putting in a new defensive scheme. Yeah. They're going to the 4-3 this year up there in Buffalo. Hopefully, that'll help things work out. Matt Modica, if the Buffalo Bills win 6 games, is Tyron Taylor the quarterback next year?
You know what? It's so hard to say. I don't think this is the season for the Bills. I think we'll be going 18 and counting as far as missing the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I do like the front office and what they've done in like rebuilding the whole scouting department and everything. So it's going to be I can't make that decision. It all depends on how Taylor looks. Because this isn't really that good of a team, so I can't put it all on him. And, you know, I'm hoping we just see a healthy Sammy Watkins. I think that's...
I'm hoping the same thing, man. You know. I hope the
that's my biggest hope.
I hoped for it last year, too, but it didn't work out that way. All right, the Chicago Bears, the final team we're going to take a look at. Scotty, Vegas projects the Chicago Bears at 5.5 wins. All right, let's say they get the 6 wins. Is a 6-win team a team that's going to have a 1,300-yard running back on it?
I'm going to take the under on the Bears. I think they're going to be pretty bad.
So how does that affect Jordan Howard?
I think it's going to affect Jordan Howard, stacked fronts, et cetera. You know, I don't like him as a first-round pick, and that defense is going to have a lot of trouble. They're going to fall behind a lot in games, and then asking Glennon and that mediocre receiver crew to play catch-up, I think it's going to be a lot of trouble throughout the season.
Just, I mean, look, it's going to be a bad team, but it was a 3-13 team last year.
True.
And he got 1,300 yards.
Bears at 5, if they don't win 5 games, Madiga, is Mitchell Trubisky going to be the quarterback at some point this season?
Oh, yeah.
I think that happens, and I think Howard's not going to sneak up on anybody this year. They're going to be ready for him.
All right, so here we go. Coming up next on the program, King Scott Engel takes you out to Citi Field with Roto Experts at the park. I'm going to take a breather. When we come back, the King and Matt Madiga, they go out to Citi Field, where they're their place of joy. Talk to Charlie Blackman.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount. Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, it's time for Roto Experts at the Park. And this weekend I had the opportunity to talk to all-star outfielder Charlie Blackman of the Colorado Rockies. And you'll be able to hear the full interview today on the Roto Experts audio boom page. Also on iTunes and Google Play, wherever you can download our great content. And I asked Charlie about the fact, you know, we went in detail about how he's having his best season ever. Scott Engel of the Fantasy Sports Network here with Charlie Blackman of the Rockies. Charlie, you're on track to have your best power season of your career so far. Do you feel what is that? Is that is there anything you did adjust mechanically or anything?
I think it's just having a little more experience, knowing my swing a little better. So I know when to push, when to pull back. You know, when to be more aggressive or less aggressive. And I think it's just, you know, overall experience that's helping me out.
According to the stats, I don't know how much you study them. You have the best hard contact rate of your career as well. Do you feel like you're hitting the ball harder than ever?
I think that I'm doing a better job of taking good swings, more so than in the past. So, you know, that's probably resulting in more hard contact. And, you know, I've been relatively successful this season, so you know I'm not surprised that the hard contact percentage is up there.
So this season so far, Charlie Blackman has the best hard hit percentage of his career, 36.1%. He also is going to set a new career high for home runs, Matty. He's got 21 this year. Last year he had 29. His ISO is the highest of his career at 273. The stolen bases are kind of on par with last year when he had 17, you know, not the 43 that we're going to see in 2015. But, you know, Blackman's had another terrific season. He had another good weekend. He tripled over the weekend. He homered this weekend. And he's just been fantastic.
Well, I mean, the last year and a half, this guy has, I think, 1,061 plate appearances, 322 average over that span, 946 OPS. I mean, some people questioned if he was a first-round pick this year. He was going, like, towards the end of it in 15-teamers. He's proven that, you know, he's giving you everything you could have wanted and more. The one thing I will say is the running game has become he's still running. He's attempted 14 stolen bases. He's only been successful 8 times, But, you know, I think he will still run, probably get close to that 17 mark, even if it's like 15. So, look, if he's going to get you double-digit steals, bet 300-plus, hit, you know, close to 30 home runs and the runs and the RBIs he gets, hey, this is a fantastic player.
He's going to soar over 30, and, you know, he might be able to set a new career high in run scored. He's already at 75 when he had 111 last year.
Yeah, look, like I said, this guy has, if you got him on the turn or, you know, late first, early second, that's a, you're just very profitable right now, and you're probably doing well in the fantasy league.
Yeah, I mean, this team has a ton of great hitters that we're going to hear from Roto Experts at the park this week, Nolan Arenado, and also Trevor Story, who's a big fantasy football fan. He's going to play on the clock with us, where I actually give him like two guys, and if he was on the clock, which one he would pick.
Oh, cool. That sounds, looking forward to it, Scotty.
Yeah, in terms of plate discipline, he's also swinging less outside the zone than last year. Last year, his O swing percentage, Blackman, was 34%. This year, it's 31.2%. So, you know, he seems like he's being a little bit more selective as well.
Yeah, I mean, everything he's done, he's gotten better. You know, some people, it takes a little time. And, you know, since he's gotten the opportunity, he's just gotten better and better each year.
All right, lots more fantasy baseball. You can hear on this channel on FanRag Fantasy Sports every weekday, 3 p.m. Eastern. We don't forget you if you play fantasy baseball.
Excellent show.
Yes. All right. Back to some fantasy football talk here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Good morning and happy Monday. Welcome to the Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Network. Also now simulcasting on the Fantasy Sports Network. I'm Corey Parson, the Fantasy Executive, holding it down for a European country hopping Greg Sussman this morning. Start off this week. And, of course, I got me, my guys from CTM Baseball. It is Goldman Sachs, Matt Madika. Matt, what's going on this morning, buddy?
Money-making Monday, baby. Let's get this going.
There you go right there. Matt Madika, 17 drafts deep already. And the king, Scott Engel, rotoexperts.com, exclusive edge package on sale now. Promo code the king at checkout. Get yourself a 20% discount. Scotty, what's going on, brother?
I'm racking my mind here about what pitchers to start this week. My pitching staff deep, Matty Modica.
Matt can help you.
Well, you know what, Scott? I'm a little impressed. You got all the black on today. Like, we should play some Johnny Cash on the intros.
Johnny Cash.
Black.
Yeah.
A little bit of Johnny Cash, and he started air guitar and stuff like that, stomping his feet. You know what I'm saying? No musical ventures for you this weekend, Scotty?
No musical adventures yet. I just found a Ace Frehley's playing in Times Square soon, Noah, so I'll be going out again.
There you go, going to see Ace Frehley in Times Square.
Yeah.
At BBQ's?
BB King's, yeah.
BB King's, I mean, I'm sorry.
Well, there was a Dallas BBQ.
Right next to it.
After down the block, I can go from BBQ to BB King's.
There you go, right there. Matt Madika, you going with Scott to see Ace Frehley?
Oh, no, I will not.
You going to sit that one out?
It's okay. Scott. I got a lot of my local KISS friends I always connect with.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Is Cha-Cha one of them?
Cha-Cha went with me to see Ace a few years ago, but, you know, he doesn't come down from Yonkers. He complains about train fare and stuff.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He's a big-time complainer.
He is.
All right, so coming up today on the program, what we got for you in store, we're going to take a look at some third-year potential breakout players, third-year backs, third-year wide receivers, who could be in for some good stuff. Also, got some top news story from over the weekend to go over. There was a big trade in, well, not a big trade, there was a trade in baseball, and of course, Donta Foreman had that situation, and Ezekiel Elliott also is a name that we have to discuss today, because Matt Madika did a couple drafts this weekend, and you know what? There was no change in Ezekiel Elliott's ADP, even with these reports of a possible suspension coming.
Yeah, he went third. I mean, I would have took Antonio Brown third into PPR, but I was hoping he might fall to six, but, you know.
Yep, I had a draft this week. I had the number six pick, Scott. Ezekiel Elliott went at four. Really, no discount.
Yeah, the updated Fantasy Pros ADPs have him at four.
So there you go, right there. Everybody's starting in the PPR. Everybody's starting to put Mr. Antonio Brown over him, AB84, and I have no problem with that. Antonio Brown is a dominant player.
Yeah, that consistency is just, it's gold.
Yeah, if he misses two games, you're still getting a dominant player for 11 fantasy regular season weeks.
And if he does miss two games, the two games he misses are against the New York Giants and the Denver Broncos. Yeah. So there you go right there. Those are two games that he more than likely would have had suppressed numbers anyway against those two elite-level defenses. When we come back, when we return, we get into some of the top news story. We'll let you know about Donta Foreman, and we'll let you know about the trade in Major League Baseball over the weekend involving my Washington Nationals. The Roto Experts That's in the morning fan. Are rolling right here on a Monday morning.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
In Fantasy Sports on a Monday morning, coming to you live from Studio 34 in New York City. It is the most controversial show in the industry, the world famous, award winning Roto Experts in the Morning. Gentlemen, did y'all get into this? Start with you, Matt Medica, this Game of Thrones thing last night?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm a big Game of Thrones guy. I've read all the books and all that.
Okay. So I didn't even know they had books.
I was pretty stoked. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're still waiting for the next one, but it's been like 5 years.
All right, cool. Scott, do you get into it?
No, my wife and my son do. So, you know, they always, like, get on me for being left out. It's like, you know, they're like, ramping up, like, watching, you know, episodes from last year and stuff like that. And they were all into it. It's like, every time I walk by, though, and I look at the TV, it's incredibly violent.
Do they ask you to leave the house when it comes on?
Why do you do that?
Oh, Lord.
Why? He takes shots at me. I praise the guy. He takes shots at me all the time.
Don't worry about it.
Very hurtful.
1984 all over again, huh?
No, it's deeper than that.
It's deeper than 84. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I apologize.
I don't really get into the Game of Thrones things, but I was on Twitter yesterday, and, like, the Cowboys tweeted out a message, like, training camp is coming. Mm-hmm. The Patriots tweeted out a message saying the winter is coming. So a lot of the sports franchise, a lot of NFL, NBA players, everybody's really into this thing, and I have no idea what they're talking about.
Yeah, Noah Syndergaard's binging into it. Like, when he warms up, he plays the Game of Thrones theme. There was another team where I think they had one of the players. Oh, was Hunter Pence and the Giants last year. Like, they were wearing one of the masks around the clubhouse, you know.
The North remembers.
All right, so there you go right there. The North remembers, whatever
that
means.
I'm waiting for The Walking Dead, personally.
I know that's your show right there, Scotty.
That's my show.
844-843-6879.
I'm sorry. Curb Your Enthusiasm coming back in October. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's. I'm looking forward to that too, Scotty, because I enjoy a good chuckle.
Pretty good.
Scott, that's not my favorite Met hat of yours, that one right there.
Well, you do have a favorite Met hat, though, right?
Yeah. No.
This one's like a satin throwback Mr. Met.
I would like that. If you took off the brim, that would be a sick looking yarmulke.
now he's getting ethnic on me.
Why is that negative? I'm saying it would look like a sick yarmulke.
If Corey was wearing this, you wouldn't say yarmulke.
He would say a Scully.
Or a durag.
I might rock a durag tomorrow. So there you go right there.
Probably like a Houston Rockets durag, right? Like,
no.
That's my NBA Atlantic team, you know, something like that.
I don't think they make...
Or maybe a Cubs, that's my NL Central team.
I don't think they make officially licensed durags.
Under Armour, baby.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? All right, 844-843-6879. Check in with us, whether you got dynasty questions, you got keeper questions, you need some help getting ready for your two-turn pitches this week, whatever the case may be, we got you covered right here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. That telephone number, once again, that your fingers should be dialing is 844-843-6879. Matt Medica, Ryan Madsen and Sean Doolittle are now members of my Washington Nationals.
My NL East team.
Yeah, I mean, look, I like it. They had to do something. I think there was still another move coming. Doolittle's the guy I would bet for now. He's the more talented pitcher. You know, he just needs to stay on the field. Injuries have always
been a
hurt
problem.
Him. Yeah, been a problem. Look, the Nationals have a really good team. So, I mean, if I'm a fan of theirs, you're hoping they get some proven veteran closer.
You think they're done, Scotty, or this is just the first step?
I think the team's got the worst bullpen ERA in the majors. I think it's like 5.36. So, you know, they were using Matt Grace to close Friday and Saturday, I think, out of desperation. I think one of these two guys could get the job at least temporarily, although Dusty Baker has said that he doesn't know who his closer is just yet. You know, but I would probably take Doolittle over Madsen. I think his stuff is a little bit more dominant.
Real quick, what's amazing watching these Nationals is how good of a hitter Daniel Murphy has become.
It's crazy, yeah.
He is just a beast.
There you go right there, Scotty. Former Met Daniel Murphy.
Yeah, one of the good guys in the game. It's nice to see.
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't hate it when they let him go. I got to be honest with you.
How was your trip to the clubhouse, to the Citi Field out there this week, Scotty?
Good. We got some great stuff that'll be on demand today. I got to speak to the Colorado Rockies general manager. I also talked to Charlie Blackman, as we heard, Nolan Arenado, who is one of the Arenado and Blackman are two of the most accessible superstars in the game. I always appreciate their time. And Trevor Story, who's a big fantasy football fan, goes on the clock. I give him fantasy football players, and who would he pick between Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, etc. And I also determine who is equivalent in fantasy football ADP is, and see what he thinks.
Well, I think you should have told Trevor Story to get the executive edge package.
There you go right there. Promo code FRENZY at checkout.
He might, because he said, you know, he voraciously consumed the exclusive edge package last year.
Nice job.
Yeah.
And the executive edge is your perfect complement to that. Now, Scotty, Donta Foreman, Houston Texans rookie running back, over the weekend, he did exactly what I asked all these NFL dudes not to do. You have to get the training camp in a safe spot so you can be good for our fantasy football team. You don't embarrass yourself. 12, the cops, the boys, the man, they're out there. They're looking for you.
Well, let me ask you a question.
In Texas, Donta, come on.
Well, I keep hearing about, you know, from all these college campuses about safe spaces.
Yeah.
So maybe the NFL needs to create some safe spaces during this six-week period. You know what I mean?
No doubt about that. Scotty, he goes out there. Him and his boys is parked in a car in Austin. You know, and somebody says, oh, my God, honey, I smell marijuana. It's coming from that car right there. And then they call the cops. Mind your business. That's first and foremost is mind your business. You smell marijuana, keep walking into your home. So they call the cops. The cops roll up on them. It's marijuana in the car, and somebody has a hammer, a pistol in the car. Not the foreman gets charged with possession.
Well, he informed the cops before they went.
He told me he had a pistol in there.
It was his gun. It's registered and stuff.
It is Texas, so you can carry a firearm.
And his lawyer said that. Yeah, well, he confirmed that it was registered, and that he said the marijuana was not in his possession, and he will be taking a urinalysis to prove that.
I wonder how much pot it was. Was it enough for distribution? Yeah.
I mean, I want to say much pot. Look, I stand by the Second Amendment. So
yeah.
If it's just for that, I hope, you know, if he has a legal gun, hopefully, you know.
Yeah, if he got the legal hammer and the marijuana's not his, we'll see what happens. Still a developing story. But
the problem is, though, is that whether, you know, the NFL just looks down on marijuana. Yep. So.
You just put himself in a bad situation. You got your whole future ahead of you.
Yeah, it's no
you know,
reason.
You're just a couple of weeks. Didn't he show up to camp like overweight?
Out of shape, so you know what I'm saying? Foreman, get it together, brother.
You got to have some questions. I mean, it's kind of like three strikes. Overweight, marijuana. Look, even if the gun's legal, you don't want to have it with your boys in a car filled with marijuana.
Come on now. It's Texas. I mean, it doesn't make a difference where it's at, Donta Foreman. Do better. Do better because you know better.
They should take the A off his name and he should just practice don't.
Don't ride around with the hammer.
Yeah.
Don't ride around with marijuana in the car.
Your name is Don't.
Put the hammer and leave the hammer in the house.
The only hammer you drive around with is MC.
There you go right there.
Ba-dum-bum.
Lamar Miller, though. is a guy that people are saying, you know, Foreman was bought in, Scotty, to share carries with Miller. It looks like, you know, Miller still has an ADP in that third, fourth round range. He's a player that I personally will not touch. I don't like the way his game plays. But what do you think about Miller? Do you think his ADP gets a tick up with his late news performance for people drafting this week?
I don't think it should. Last year, this guy wore down and missed the last two games because he didn't have a significant backup. This year, I think it becomes the same thing if Foreman is missing a game. But we're not talking about Foreman maybe being out for the season. So I would keep it where it is. You know, if Foreman somehow, you know, does something where he misses the season, Tyler Irvin still got to prove he can hold on to the football even on special teams. So to me, it becomes the same situation as last year. But Foreman, you know, he'll get suspended for maybe a few games at the worst. So I don't see moving it up because at the worst, if Foreman wasn't there, then you're still looking at a bad situation like he had last year.
Oh, in the NFFC, Miller is the 12th running back off the board.
I don't like that.
Too rich for me. I mean, I could make the case for like 17 from my point of view, but you know, the thing is, he does have talent. You can't deny that. He was very disappointing, though, and he shouldn't be used in the role he was used last year.
So there you go right there. That's the skinny on Lamar Miller. Me, myself, not really the biggest Lamar Miller fan. I think it's always going to be somebody on the board I like a little bit more when Lamar Miller is going off. Still yet to come on the program. I want to talk some third-year running backs, some third-year wide receivers. Not some of the big names. Some of the guys that could be in for, I don't want to say it, career years, breakout type fantasy season. So we're going to discuss those guys. Also want to take your phone calls, 844-843-6879. And also, the NFFC, people that like to play in a National Fantasy Football Championship, this Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, the Beat the Fantasy Executive Cut Line. That's Friday night, July 21st at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You can compete in the NFFC's cut line in the Beat the Fantasy Executive League. Let's go and get that filled today. Need 9 more owners. It's a 10-team league, 26-round draft, more of a tournament-style competition. I believe the grand prize, Matt Modica, is $60,000. So that'll be in the Fantasy Executive's pocket in the new year.
Very nice. Very nice. Go sign up, everybody.
And I'll buy Scott a new Met hat.
I don't want one. I like this one.
When we come back and we return, Duke Johnson, Amir Abdullah, Tevin Coleman. Some of the names we'll be talking about right here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Hey, fantasy nerds, here's a question for you. What do mozzarella sticks and the Fantasy Sports Radio Network have in common? They're both awesome apps. But seriously, download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app right now and get all your favorite shows and fantasy advice at the touch of a tiny icon on your screen. Snapchat and Instagram aren't going to help you win a fantasy football title, but the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app will. So go get it now on Google Play and iTunes.
Second hour of the Roto Experts in the Morning program, taking you up to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And then we hand it off, but we don't really hand it off. We kneel on it. Fantasy Football Frenzy coming up. That's myself, Matt Modica, and Jake Seeley. They take you from 9. We take you from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and then you get the Fantasy Football Best Friends with Mike Florio and Frank Stanfield. That is the morning block of programming right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. In the first hour of Frenzies, are going to be on the Fantasy Sports Television Network also. So, big things coming up on the program. I want to start to talk about some third-year breakout players. Guys that could break out in this season. Guys that could put up their best career year as far as it goes for fantasy purposes. Kind of want to get your thoughts on some third-year players. Guys starting to come into their own in the NFL. And Matt Modica, I want to start off with Cleveland Brown pass-catching running back Duke Johnson. Big things expected for Duke last season. Don't get me wrong. He did catch 50-plus passes. But you never knew when to put him in your lineup. For the most part, he was a dog last year. So much of a dog, I said, I'm not going to own Johnson. Thank you, Scotty. So much so that I said I wasn't going to own Johnson on not one single team in 2017. Now, Matt, my mind has changed. I will roster Johnson in double-digit rounds in a best ball league. But in a redraft league, I will have 0 shares of one Duke Johnson.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I do like the best ball format for him. I kind of like Isaiah Crowell as that bell cow that, you know, because he can catch the ball too.
Yeah.
So and
Corral had 40 something receptions last year.
In second half of the season, he out targeted Duke Johnson. So I do like him in the best ball format. He's like in the PPR format. I'd probably have him as like kind of towards that low RB3.
Yeah.
I mean, because he does catch passes. You know, I don't know what he's going to do. He's not a guy I have faith in.
Yeah.
But he fits a role. So.
But are you comfortable with him in a 12-team redraft?
I mean, I'll take him at some point. You know, it's probably going to have to be like that 12, 13 kind of range for me. I'm not optimistically targeting him.
Yeah.
But at some point, you got to start taking some guys.
What do you think about it, Scotty? Duke Johnson, best ball, I said I can do it in double-digit rounds. 12-team redraft, mm-mm. Because I won't know when to put him in my lineup.
Look, they'll play from behind. He'll catch some passes out of the backfield this year. But Isaiah Crowell also proved he can catch passes as well. So you know, maybe this guy is just a third down back. And, you know, it's not Theo Riddick where he's going to be catching passes on a lot of first and second down. So I really, you know, I'm not in on Duke Johnson at all.
Amir Abdullah is the next name on the board going into his third season. First two seasons filled with injuries. We've seen some flashes, maybe like a pow. One flash, like, what's that? It's a flash. What was the flash with that? It was Amir Abdullah. And now he's on the injury report. Coming off of Liz Frank injury, going into his third year, really no clear options ahead of him. If he can be healthy, he more than likely will go in there as a starting running back. But I just don't look at Detroit as a team that's going to commit to the run, and I don't think Abdullah's a kid that's going to stay healthy.
Yeah, he's a guy I have zero shares of that I just need to revisit.
Makes sense.
I don't know. I'm a big Theo Riddick guy. I think he's elite in the... I mean, we use that term third down back. I think that's a wrong term to use. It's a pass catching back.
Okay.
He's an elite pass catching back, Riddick. But somebody's got to be the running back first. You know, somebody's got to have that role.
The early down back.
Yeah, the early down back. And Abdullah is going to get that opportunity. So I don't want to write this guy off completely. I did talk to NFFC Hall of Famer Michael Edelman yesterday on Fantasy Football Gold about Abdullah, and he said he's a guy that, you know, he's kind of looking at. And as a running back three, that's why I have him ranked somewhere in, like, you know, that high 20s,
yeah,
you know, just before 30th overall. And the NFFC is going 19th overall right now.
Abdullah
in the redrafts.
Wow, drinking the Kool-Aid. How about that? Scotty, I have zero interest in Amir Abdullah.
Yeah, Amir Abdullah is a guy who hasn't been able to stay healthy. And even when he is healthy, what can we necessarily expect, especially between the tackles? This team has improved its offensive line, which was a big deal for them, protecting Matthew Stafford and opening up some more holes in the run. I think, as we've both said, we both like Dwayne Washington this year. That is a power back with speed who probably fits the mold better.
There you go right there. Scotty, Duke Johnson, Amir Abdullah or Paul Perkins?
Paul Perkins.
Amir Abdullah or Ty Montgomery?
Ty Montgomery.
Madika?
I'll go Montgomery, and I'll go Amir Abdullah over Perkins.
Oh, Amir Abdullah over Perkins. Kind of the same situation, run pass-heavy offenses.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And I think they improved the offensive line. Don't hold me to this, but I believe it was more better for the
pass protection.
Yeah, pass protection. So.
Up next on the list is a player that I'm finding on a lot of my teams. As a matter of fact, he's a guy that it looks like right now he might be able to sink my teams. If he has a bad season. And that's Atlanta Falcon running back Tevin Coleman. I am getting a lot of shares of Tevin Coleman. I think if he plays 16 games, he is over 50 receptions, and I think he can hit the 10-touchdown mark. Really the only hindrance to him so far, Matt Madika, in his career has been injuries. If he can put it together, Tevin Coleman is a player that I'm going to invest on. He's going in around that 6-round range. He's a perfect running back, too, in a PPR.
I mean, there's a lot to like as far as talent-wise. There really is. It's just I'm looking at guys. It's tough in his range. I do like him, but in that sixth round where he's going.
Yeah.
You know, if Danny Woodhead's there.
You like Woodhead better.
I like Coleman
over Woodhead.
It's tough. I have Woodhead a couple of spots. It's not like anything major, but there's also guys like. It's a tough round for where he goes. You're asking to pay. Like, if Carlos Hyde falls to the sixth round, are you going to take Hyde or Coleman? I'm going to take Hyde.
I'd probably take Tevin Coleman. Both of them are kind of the same type of guys as me. I think Coleman's role is solidified. I think Carlos Hyde could really be in danger of seeing a reduced workload.
I think this is one of the most over dramatic kind of things okay. we're hearing in Connecticut. I mean, this is what I'm banking on right now and why I'm watching this guy. I'm not the biggest Carlos Hyde guy, but yeah. I'm watching somebody fall down draft boards who I think will be the team's number one running back. And if he figures out that scheme,
yeah,
could be a really good thing.
I don't mind. I'm gonna have some high chairs, but I think I like Coleman a tick more. You know what I mean?
How about this one, Ty Montgomery or Tevin Coleman?
Tevin Coleman.
I'm in with Coleman on you. It's just the thing is, on a week to week basis, you know, with Freeman sometimes dominating the running back points there. You know, that's the thing that I worry about. You know, with game flow, is it going to be Freeman or is it going to be Coleman? But Coleman has more upside to me. I feel like I can't trust Hyde even if he wins the job. Injuries, game flow, etc. I think Ty Montgomery might end up in a timeshare as well. But I just feel like Tevin Coleman is explosive with a lot of upside. I don't know if I can trust him on a week-to-week basis, but I feel in certain weeks he can spur my team to victory.
Atlanta probably still one of the best offenses in the NFL. They're going to be a team that's going to put up enough points to support all the pieces. What up, Scotty?
You know what it is with the Falcons, and I see this as a narrative so much online, that people are writing the Falcons off because they say that teams that lose the Super Bowl have a swoon. But you look at this team, they're still very powerful on offense and
you would
defense.
Know it as a Seahawks fan.
What are you talking about?
They whipped that ass.
What are you talking about?
I said you would know how powerful they are as a Seahawks fan because they sure did whip Seattle's ass.
Oh yeah, but well, you wouldn't know about winning playoff games as a Cowboy fan because it's been since 1996.
Go ahead, Scotty.
You know, so that's neither here nor there. Meanwhile, I've seen two Super Bowls and a victory in the last 5 years, so you can be quiet now. But you know, Atlanta is still very good on offense, and their defense is young and improving. It wouldn't surprise me if they won the NFC again.
Would not surprise me either. He's absolutely correct on that. And it's enough in the offense where I think they can support. Listen, Sarkisian, the new offensive coordinator, every stop he's been at, he's known for having 2,000-yard running backs on the same team. That's right. His thing.
I still like this offense a lot, but I think there has to be some regression.
They just clicked.
They were so efficient.
Yeah.
Nobody dropped passes and stuff. But, I mean, I'm still going to be in on all these guys. I just think it has to be some sort of a pullback.
If they get home field advantage in the playoffs again, it's going to be very hard to take them out.
There you go right there. That's the skinny on those couple of third-year backs that you'll be making decisions on in fantasy football in 2017. Next up, I want to talk about a guy going into his third year, Alabama running back in a tough spot, right? From what it looks like on paper. Leonard Fournette is drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's going to be the bell cow. He's going to be the lead dog. But I don't know. I think T.J. Yeldon can get some third down work, Matika. Maybe not enough for you to draft or roster, but definitely a guy that you see him make the team and he's getting that third down work. Maybe this is a player that can give you a little value throughout the bye weeks. As a flex running back three type option.
I wanted to pull up his page right now because he had 68 targets and 50 receptions last year.
There you go.
So you can't write that off, but they do want to get Fournette involved in the passing game. They've been working him in the passing game. So I still think it's a heavy Fournette load.
What do you think? He said load. Well, we got Scotty, T.J. Yeldon.
There's nothing to see there. I mean, they wouldn't be drafting Fournette if, like, Yeldon and Ivory, like, meant anything.
He had 68 targets last year.
Yeah, but, you know, Fournette's coming there now. He's the guy.
All right. So Fournette's going to get those targets out the backfield, too?
I think so, too, or at least a good portion of them.
All right, so there you go. Another third-year running back that is going into a season where everybody's predicting him is going to break out. As a matter of fact, his ADP is climbing to the first round. That is Miami Dolphin running back Jay Ajayi. We already know last season, Matt Modica, the yardage came on the two games against Buffalo, another game during the middle of the season. Jay Ajayi, you're buying him as a first-round draft pick?
I don't know if I'm buying him. He will be cemented there. But the thing is, he's a guy that I want to draft, but I'm, like, scared to draft.
I feel you.
Same thing.
I don't want to draft him.
It's like I really want to take him, but I'm like, damn, you know. He's somebody you have to worry about. He can possibly be a beast, but he could possibly be a bust.
Scotty, are you comfortable starting a fantasy football team with, let's say you start a team with Dez Bryant and Jay Ajayi?
I think I'm okay with it. I just worry about Ajayi and his health. I think people have quickly forgotten about that. And I don't think he can.
When we come back, when we return on the other side, we talk about wide receivers that could potentially have third-year breakouts in 2017. As we roll on, it's the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engle, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Scotty Love rocking out on the air guitar over there. It's the Roto Experts on the Morning on a Monday morning, coming to you live from Studio 34 in Midtown Manhattan. Look at Scotty Love. Got his black Mets uniform on, and he's rocking and rolling.
The man in black.
The man in black.
Whoa, why is he doing that?
Now I'm a racist.
I think it's foolish. I like it better when I do this with my hands. All right, here we go. 844-843-6879. That is 844-843-6879. Get down with the Roto Experts in the Morning. Matt Modica, I'm telling you, I cannot wait till I really get into like the heat of redrafts and stuff like that, because I'm going to have a lot of Amari Cooper on my teams this year going into his third year. I think Amari Cooper is going to take over as the top option in the Oakland Raiders passing game. I think he's going to be a dominant force. I think we're going to see the Cooper we saw at Alabama, where he takes over football games. I think he's going to be a lock solid first round draft pick in 2018. I'm in on Amari Cooper.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Amari Cooper takes that step up and Crabtree takes a little step back. I mean, so I'm with you. I would like, I don't have any Cooper yet.
Me neither.
I try and get him in that, you know, I'm picking more towards like that later second round.
Yeah.
And like, I always miss him by like one. Him and like Cooks are like the one guy I want, like either one of them, and they just go like right before me. So, but I'm with you on that. I think this is, he gets the chance to ascend this year. He does it.
Scotty, Jake Seeley, the all-in kid, who is a part of the Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package, which you can purchase right now on rotoexperts.com. Promo code the king gets you 20% off. Scotty, Jake Seeley, your boy, the accuracy expert, says Amari Cooper is a junior varsity Brandon Cooks.
To me, with Cooper, all the talent is there, and you talk, Corey, about pound for pound very often, and it's there. But to me, I think he's overdrafted until I see it. You know, 2 years I've been hearing now about how he's going to break
out. First season was the rookie year.
There's big games, but just, you know, the consistency is not there quite yet. I'm probably not going to end up with Cooper on my face. I'm not saying Amari Cooper's terrible or nothing like that. I don't believe I can't regard him with the elite wide receivers yet, just based on talent.
See, I look at it a little bit differently. Now, before, a couple years ago, when you had the big breakout years from Odell and Mike Evans, they all came in as these rookie wide receivers and excelled. The thing with receivers was, it takes a receiver 3 years to get steady into the NFL. His third year is the year where you see the receiver break out and start to excel. This is Amari Cooper's third year. Amari Cooper is a better football player than Michael Crabtree, and Derek Carr knows this.
Yeah, and another thing you got to look at, the catch percentage went up 8% last year.
Okay.
That's something I like to look at. And as you said, this is year three. Everybody, you know, not everybody pops year one.
Yeah.
But his rookie season, over 1,000 yards. His sophomore season, over 1,100 yards. So, I mean, sometimes everybody's going to look to, he faded down the stretch. And that's going to be the recency bias on him. But guys like Cooper, I mean, guys like Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks has been, you know, one of the top wide receivers, you know, in PPR. The last two seasons in, you know, weeks 1 to 16. Last year he was 7th overall in 1 to 16. And in 2015 he was 12th overall. There's another guy. Doesn't catch a lot of passes, 78 and 84. But gets the points there. You know, he gets 1,100 yards. And I'm not really worried about, like, say, with the Patriots, neither with him.
Yeah.
With New Orleans, they had a lot of options, too. So
no doubt about it. So there you go right there. Up next on the list of third-year wide receivers is my guy, well, Greg Sussman's guy, Fitter Turtle, from the University of Maryland. It is wide receiver Stephon Diggs. Diggs is a guy we've seen, you know, have ups and downs throughout the course of his NFL career. But one thing I will say, Madika, is Diggs has some PPR prowess. I think he's the number one target in that offense right now. And he's just a guy that can just catch. 100 reception season is coming at some point for Diggs. Maybe this offense in Minnesota doesn't support that type of production. But I do think that Stephon Diggs is a player that I am in on in 2017.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the PPR term, like you're saying, he's going to get a ton of targets. The whole thing for him is staying healthy. Like last season, he had some injuries. Otherwise, I believe he would have been on pace for that. I also think the Viking offense is evolving into a passing offense as well. It's not that, you know, give it to Adrian Peterson's gone. So that kind of offense is gone. And I like Diggs. I like Thielen. I like, you know, I like
you love Kyle Rudolph.
So, you know, I'm on board.
Laquan Treadwell also is a player that could make a push this season. That second year wide receiver, Laquan Treadwell. Scotty, when you look at Stephon Diggs, so far, two pretty decent seasons in the NFL. You see he can really be a guy that can help move the chains, Stephon Diggs. How do you feel about him going into 2017? Because I think, listen, in that 6-7 round range, I think the kid is worth a flyer.
Yeah, I think I could be okay with him as a wide receiver 3. He runs sharp routes. He's got a high football IQ, it seems. You know, when you watch him, he knows what he's doing out there. The thing is, you know, he can be pushed around. You know, he doesn't get off the jam so well. He can be physically manhandled in press coverage. And sometimes he tends to disappear because of that. And that's the one thing I worry about with Diggs.
Yeah, somebody, I forget who said this, but they met Stephon Diggs like a year ago.
Stephon Diggs is a little dude.
Yeah, they said like he just looked, they couldn't believe he was like an NFL player.
Yeah, nah, Stephon Diggs is a little dude, but if you get on the football field with him.
he can fly.
Yeah, he can fly.
But like, I think Scott made a really good point here.
He is.
In the fact that, you know, he can be knocked around and stuff. And like I said, the durability issue is really the question.
And the durability issue could be because he's such a diminutive player. So that could play a part in it also. But when he's out there on the field, he gets it done. You really, I like Stephon Diggs, put it like that. So let me ask you this. Stephon Diggs or Emmanuel Sanders?
You know, I probably got to go Sanders here. Sanders is just continually done. I think Sanders is probably one of the guys that everybody's just overlooking and just pushing down.
What do you think, Scotty? Diggs or Emmanuel Sanders?
Yeah, I go Emmanuel Sanders. No matter who the quarterback's going to be there, he's going to get the job done. If the quarterback play is underwhelming, it might hurt his touchdowns. He only had 5 last year, but he still gets the yards and the catches.
Another receiver going into their third year in 2017 is out there in the Pacific Northwest. He signed non-disclosures agreement whenever he hangs out with Russell Wilson. That is third-year wide receiver Tyler Lockett. Lockett, a guy, Scotty, on your Seattle Seahawks, people thought were going to break out last year. It did not happen. Is there any reason why he should be drafted in the Fantasy Football League in 2017?
I think he's a better NFL player than a fantasy player. I think he has a role. They like him downfield. They like to give him handoffs. He's one of those gadget players, and we can never trust gadget players. Lockett's going to have some big games, and you're going to, damn, man, I should have had him on my team if you're a mainstream player. You'll pick him up, and then he'll catch two catches for 16 yards. One week it'll be Lockett. The next week it'll be Procise. You know, Russell Wilson and I have a different friend on the field every week.
besides Doug Baldwin in the passing game, yeah. and Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, as far as receivers, as far as wide receivers, it's Doug Baldwin and, you know.
You know, really, you really can't trust
the number
two
wide receiver.
Here's the thing. I'm hearing a lot of people starting to talk up Paul Richardson.
It's not happening. I'll tell you why, okay? Because there are certain guys, to your point, that have a role in the offense. Doug Baldwin has been his favorite receiver from day one of his NFL career. They came in together. There was a connection in training camp in 2012. That's his guy. Jimmy Graham and him, they're best friends off the field. And on the field, the relationship continues to develop. Those are definite go-to guys.
How do you know about the off-the-field relationship?
I read about it. But he never lets me finish. But,
sorry, Scott.
But once in a while, when he still wants a big play, everybody else has a role. Okay, once in a while, in a big moment, he's still going to throw to Jermaine Kearse. Tyler Lockett's going to be that gadget guy. He'll throw him downfield. He'll throw him on third down. He'll hand off the ball. Paul Richardson is the deep guy, and that's it. Paul Richardson's role, when everybody else is healthy, is to make the big catch and be the deep guy. People are up on Richardson because he was good in the playoffs, and Lockett wasn't there. You know, I know you don't know too much about playoffs over the last 20 years, but I'm telling you this. But, you know, Richardson made that catch against Detroit, and he had some other big, you know, big plays. You know, they're like, oh, you know, and everybody saw the highlight reel. And he's not going to be there fantasy football. You're going to cut Paul Richardson if you draft him.
Much like you did with Tyler Lockett last year. All right, coming up right next. Oh, boy, this is my guy. All right, you know what I'm saying? Ring the bell. Dang, I called it 2 years ago when he got in the league. 100-catch season is coming at some point in the career, Matt Matica. But Jamison Crowder, obviously, I don't have to talk about how much I love Jamison Crowder. Everybody knows that already. Crowder is a guy, though. Here's the thing. I'm starting to see it was round six. It was round five. Over the weekend, I saw round four. Jamison Crowder ADP is rising.
No, I mean, I really like Jamison Crowder, but if I had to take a chance between him or Willie Snead, I'm going to go Willie Snead.
Interesting, right there. You like Snead over Crowder?
Mm-hmm. I think Snead's going to get a boost in targets as well this season, especially when they go three wide, put him in the slot. And look, I'm not putting Crowder down, but I'm just, my love for Willie Snead is growing by the day.
Crowder has never missed an NFL game. Scott, in his first 2 years, he goes into season number three of his career, already has that connection with Kirk Cousins, a guy that's solidified in that offense. Jamison Crowder, is the ADP getting too high for you?
I think so. I like Crowder.
You can't do it in four?
I can't do it in four.
Can you do it in five?
Well, I could do it in six, maybe.
Ooh, you're not going to have him.
Yeah, I'm not going to have him. But I do like Crowder. Look, that's an offense that's going to throw a lot. And he's got the trust, and there's a chemistry there. I do believe consistency is going to be something of an issue. Terrell Pryor, Jordan Reed there, too. He might end up being kind of like the 2.5 number three option. I like him, but I don't know if I'm bumping up the board quite that much.
All right, so let me see. You're saying you think you'll be underexposed to Crowder in 2017?
I'd like to have him, but at four is too early for me.
He's in the fifth round for me. Him and Willie Snead are the guys I'm targeting in that fifth round.
There you go, right there. When we return, we'll give you some more information that you can use to dominate your fantasy football league in 2016. One of those things is being picking up the Executive Edge Fantasy Football Package now live at rotoexperts.com. Promo code Frenzy, because that program is coming up shortly.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Final segment of the Roto Experts in the Morning, the industry's most controversial radio show, with Mr. Controversy holding it down. What's up, MD? Holla at you. No 37 floor today. No microphones being shut off today. Anyway,
why should you be on the sixth floor?
Nah, yeah, you're right. I need to see you, Corey. Like, oh God!
Why'd you let him do that?
All right, fellas, getting ready to wrap up the program. Head off into the fantasy football frenzy. And get ready for that program. All In Kid, Jake Seeley, Matt Medica, and myself talking fantasy football up to 11 a.m. Eastern time. And then we pass it off to the fantasy football best friends, Florio and Stanford, hold it down as Sussman is country hopping in Europe. and hopefully he don't come back as a, you know, that little, that gal was pregnant. But anyway, yeah.
Shopping for boat shoes, baby boat shoes, and you know, maybe sweaters to wear around his little neck.
Hey, Matt Madigan, you were talking in the break. You and Scotty were talking about Starling Marte coming back this week, right?
Yeah, that's a welcome addition to fantasy owners. A major blow when he went down. You know, guy that hit for average, speed. I mean, not a lot of home runs, but a double-digit home run guy. So, I mean, he was a high fantasy pick, you know, second rounder. So,
popping him back in lineup this week.
Eduardo Rodriguez is back tonight. Two turns this week. Yeah, he's back against the Blue Jays tonight.
There you go, right? That's
Aaron Altair on the going on the DL with a hamstring injury.
Anything else going on in the world of Major League Baseball that fantasy owners should be looking up on? Nobody lose their
job. Alex Claudio looks like he's the guy getting saves right now for Texas, although that is subject to change. We don't know when Keel is exactly coming back. Brett Cecil looked like he might have been the guy for the Cardinals, but then got his first opportunity and blew the save last night.
Keep an eye on the on Keeler's status right now, see when he gets activated. Or I don't think
Claudio's got three saves already, though.
I'm saying
in the interim, he's doing the job.
Yeah, no, you're right on that. But I would say just keep an eye out. You know, if you're setting lineups and all that stuff, just take a little. Put his name in there and see what's going on. Coney Keeler.
That's his name?
Keone.
Okay. Is he from Hawaii?
Sounds like it.
I believe he is.
Sounds like he's an Hawaiian dude right there.
He threw a bullpen session on Saturday, so I think it's dicey to use him this week if you got weekly moves. Yeah. I would go, if you have both like I do, in my American League only league, I'm going with Claudio over Keeler for right now.
If you don't have both, and you got Keeler, and he gets activated, if you want saves, I take a shot.
How you doing in your baseball leagues, Matt?
Doing pretty good. One of my biggest leagues, I'm in fourth place. I think I got like 98 points in fourth place, and that's pissing me off.
Yeah, because the money is at third, right?
Yeah. So I got to get to there. My second biggest league, it's kind of jumbled, so I'm hoping Mike Trout's back. I'm right in contention there, so hoping for a nice move in that one. I have Jose Quintana in that league, so maybe we're looking for a nice second-half push from him as well. So, you know. And then the overall, me and Vlad, I think, are third place in the RotoWire Online Championship, NFFC.
There you go, right there. Nice job getting it done. Scotty, how's it going in your leagues?
I'm in seventh in the GST, but I'm within striking distance of fourth, just a few points away. Okay. I'm in fourth in my dynasty league and fourth in my AL only league. We're frustrated because like I'm trying to trade, nobody wants to make a deal. Like I got like a ton of pitching and I need steals, and like nobody even wants to like take offers from Chris Sale. It's like it's too quiet. The only league where I'm not doing good is Towel Wars. I'm doing either respectable or good in all my other leagues.
Yeah, that's kind of like an annual thing, though. It's rite of passage.
Yeah. when you win one yourself, you can let me know. It'll be the first time.
The Roto Experts in the morning, just about in the can. Keep it tuned right here, though. The Fantasy Football Frenzy is next. The All-In Kid, Jake Seeley, joins myself and Matt Matika, getting you updated on the latest ADP trends. The Frenzy is next. Mm-hmm.